Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Christ in Me with Addie, where we seek to live out a John 3:30 life. John 3:30 says, "He must become greater and greater and I less and less." Let's be real, in today's world, it can seem impossible to live out what the Bible calls us to do. Not only can it be hard to understand sometimes, but finding the time to read the Bible, to understand the Bible, to know the Bible, it can just be overwhelming. So I created this podcast so we could walk alongside each other, share some of our stories and struggles, but also where the Lord is bringing us, so that we can encourage one another and stay rooted in His Word. It's my prayer that you walk away from each episode saying, "I know that that is Christ in me. I know Christ in me." So let's get into today's topic. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Christ in Me with Addie. I'm very excited about today's episode, but I also want to set it with a little bit of an expectation, I guess, as we're diving in. We're going to talk about a topic that is so controversial in our world today, but what I don't want this conversation to be is that. I don't want it to be confrontational. I don't want to make you uncomfortable. I want to simply have an honest conversation about abortion so that we can put our hope and our peace and our trust in God instead of the shifting ways of the world. So before we get started, I want to say I have Amy Garner on the podcast today. She has an amazing testimony. So I'm going to play that for you now. Here's Amy's story.
The gospel writer of Mark tells a story of a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. By Levitical standards, she was considered unclean. I know what it feels like to have a stain on you that no matter how much you regret it, no matter how much you wish you can change it, you cannot remove that stain yourself. My story began in an abortion clinic. When I woke up in the clinic that day, I began sobbing at the realization of what I had done. A nearby nurse walked over. She said, "You can stop crying now. It's over." I'm so thankful that my God did not consider it over. I would remain shackled to the shame of what I had done for nearly a decade because I steadfastly refused to ask for forgiveness because I didn't think I deserved it. But that is not how Jesus works. He did not just bear the penalty of your sin on the cross. He bore the shame of it too. And there is no such thing as halfway forgiven. He didn't give up on me, and He won't give up on you. Finally, I cried out to Him for forgiveness, and He made me clean once again. 10 weeks later, I would find myself in this very place, pregnant with twins and bleeding myself. Earlier in the week when the bleeding began, I called the doctor to ask if there was anything he could give me. He said, "We've gone as far as science can go. It's in God's hands now." After a week of resting on the couch, my husband and I came to church, and it was as I sat here that day and the choir began to sing that I closed my eyes to pray, and when I did, standing in front of me was Christ Jesus holding a baby in each arm. The first thing that I noticed was the light. I knew that Jesus was the source of the light, but it was unlike any kind of light that we have here on earth. The light did not behave as light does here on earth. No, this light wrapped around me, it wrapped around everything. It was as beautiful and bright behind me and beside me as it was coming from Him. He wore a robe of white. The children were swaddled in cloth of the same color. It's just not any color white that we have here on earth. I don't know how I knew that the children He was holding were the ones inside of me. I just knew that. They were 10 weeks old inside of me. They were fully formed babies in His arms. He was not holding a clump of cells. He was not holding a barely formed baby. I would suggest to you that perhaps your birthday is not the same in your eyes as it is in God's. You think you were born the day you entered this world, but you were born the day you were conceived, because that is the day that He gave you life. Our God is in the life-giving business. He is the author and creator of life, and it is through His Son, Jesus, that we receive eternal life. We know that He walked this earth, that He died on a cross for the sins of the world, and then He walked out of that grave, having paid our debt in full. He is alive, present, and active. Oh, if you don't know Jesus, don't wait another day. If you are living for this world, stop, because that world is more vivid and beautiful than this one will ever be. If you don't know Jesus, come to Him today. He's waiting for you.
Welcome to the podcast, Amy. Thank you so much for your willingness to share and just how your story is so impactful. I still remember when I first saw it for the first time in my previous church, I was like in tears just preparing this video for the service that you were speaking in. But I want to give you the opportunity to kind of introduce yourself. So why don't you tell our audience who you are and kind of what you do?
Well, hey, everybody. I am Amy Garner, and I have been doing abortion recovery for many years, probably since 2016, when the Lord called me forward to tell my story and to begin telling his story of redemption within mine. So super excited to be here.
Yeah. And you're also a mom, you're a wife, and you're an author. And I think it's so cool how God has used your story not only to encourage others towards redemption and towards this like grace-based healing, but also to tell the truth about some of the lies when it comes to abortion. So I'd love to dig into your story a little more if you're comfortable. So I'd like to ask, when did you find out you were pregnant and what kind of led you to decide on abortion?
Well, I found out I was pregnant on a Thursday night, sitting in an apartment. And I can remember just that this voice in my head saying, go get a pregnancy test. And I was like, no, surely not. And if you know anything about my story, there was sexual assault in my story. And so there's usually trauma. Abortions don't just happen in a vacuum. They are usually the products of trauma. And so for me, I was acting out kind of my rape from a place of control and ended up pregnant. And so I went and got the pregnancy test, came home, took it, it was pregnant, went back, got two more because I was completely freaked out and scared. Came back, took those, and they were pregnant, or they showed that I was pregnant as well. And I think it was that night, the amount of fear that a woman feels in that situation is just that open door for Satan just to begin to plant those lies that this is the only way, you know, abortion's your only way out. It's the only answer for you. And so I believed in those lies and of course got up that next morning and made the appointment for Saturday morning and really didn't give myself the time to think about it or even the permission to think about it. It just all happened so quickly.
And what was your relationship with God like at that time? Did you know God or were you raised in a Christian household?
Yes, I was. And I was raised in a Christian household from the time I was very young. I gave my life to the Lord when I was about a few weeks shy of my 13th birthday. And so my relationship with the Lord had been strong. Now, I will be honest, the sexual assault definitely sent me into a spiral. I think there's very much something in us after you've been through something like that, that makes you believe you're damaged, that makes you believe that, you know, nobody's going to want you now. And I definitely believed that lie. And so I had kind of walked away from the church believing that I was damaged and that they didn't want me anymore. And so I wasn't in church at the time of my abortion, but I was certainly a believer. I certainly had Jesus in my life during that time.
Wow. Do you think that you walked away from the church during that time because of how people in the church made you feel or because of lies that Satan had kind of infiltrated into your mind?
Well, you know, I think probably there's a mix of both. I mean, the church isn't perfect. Let's fix it. But at the same time, when the church is loving one another like we are supposed to, like we are commanded to, there's nothing more beautiful on this earth. So at that time in my life, I think I had just believed the lies that Satan was able to kind of twist in my mind to say, you know, now that you're not a virgin, no one wants you anymore. You're damaged now, and you don't have that gift to give your husband. So no Christian man is going to want you now. It makes any sense. And so I would say to young girls who've ever been through that, it's not your virginity that's your gift to your husband. It's your relationship with Christ. That is the gift that you have to give your husband.
Amen. That is so good. And one of the reasons I wanted to have this conversation is because I think all too often
when it comes to the conversation of sexual morality by choice or by assault even, or, you know, people who have had abortions before or have considered it and just are so weighed down by shame, they've been met by condemnation and not grace. And so I wanted to have this conversation. And if anyone out there has had an abortion, I want to say this conversation is for you. We want to set you free by the grace of God through this conversation, help you remove that shame from your life and know how much He loves you. And if there's anything I took away from Amy's story, it was that. And so I hope that by the end of this conversation, you feel maybe inclined to reach out to her. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your ministry and how you're helping women who have had abortions heal from the trauma of that? Because there is so much trauma.
Sure. So I run a ministry here in town called healedbygrace.org, and we unite post-abortive women just to kind of get the word out that redemption is available, abortion recovery is available. So we meet women who are, you know, I guess shackled down, you would say, with shame, and kind of walk them through a 9-week course that really walks them through that forgiveness process. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's hard to approach the cross when you're afraid.
Yeah.
And so I think when we have to, because we believe in our minds that abortion is the unforgivable sin. Mm-hmm. I think we truly buy into that lie. That, and I believed that too, that I was beyond the grace of God, yeah. That I had done something so horrible that there was no way that He would want me now. And so that is just so not true. Again, those are those lies that Satan plants.
Right.
You know, Jesus always, you know, He offered truth, but He always offered grace first.
Yeah.
If you think about that, grace and truth go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So we walk women just through a really grace-filled experience. He is so gentle and kind as He heals. We always tell them it's not like He never rips a Band-Aid off, right? Mm-hmm. He's always just going to reveal and heal very slowly as He walks her through that healing process.
Yeah.
So we often get women who are like, I cognitively know He forgives me, but I don't feel forgiven.
Yeah.
So how do I move forgiveness from here to here? And that's what Jesus does.
You know, and isn't that the human tendency to like stonewall our pain and build this like permanent brick house out of our pain, when Jesus was literally the one who said, the things that you view as permanent, I don't. Like, death is not permanent. If you were born with an illness where you can't walk or you can't see, like, that's not even permanent. So why would we for a second believe that any of our sins are permanent stains on our lives? And so I want to talk more about so you had just had an abortion. What did the recovery room look like for you? I know you mentioned this in the video, but what sort of initiated the hurt process that then moved into the healing process?
Right. So I always tell ladies, like, the lies you believe in the waiting room don't hold up in the recovery room, right? So the lies that I walked in thinking that this was going to solve my problems, that my life was going to go back to normal, everything was going to be okay if I just did this thing. And then I woke up in the recovery room and it immediately hit me. Mm-hmm. And I just began to sob and just cried uncontrollably as the realization of what I had done began to sink in.
Yeah.
And I was there crying. And honestly, I will be honest, we were all crying. There wasn't a young girl in that room that wasn't crying.
Wow.
And so all of us, and I'm hearing the girls that are sniffling and crying around me, and I'm crying. And this nurse walks up to me and she says, "You can stop crying now. It's over." And in that moment, I didn't realize, because I thought it truly was over. I thought, I'm done now. I've done something that there's no forgiveness for. And I just love how the Lord has walked me through and shown me.
Mm-hmm.
I might have thought it was over. The enemy might have tried to tell me it's over, but it wasn't over by a long shot.
Yeah.
God was just getting started.
And I still remember something so impactful that you said when you spoke at my previous church. You had said that in the recovery room, you know, Satan had told you, this is the way, this is your ticket out. And then in the recovery room, he instantly flipped the script on you and said, you're the monster. You're the one who did this. So what did it look like denying those lies and embracing the truth of God's word following the abortion?
For me, you got to get into God's word. I tell women, you got to do the work. You've got to be able to be willing to rip those lies out. But we do that through God's word. Mm-hmm. We do that through reading God's word and studying God's word and allowing him to plant those truths into our lives.
Yeah.
And yes, Satan tried to convince me that I was the monster and the murderer. But the more I began to read and the more I began to study and the more I began to put my identity in Christ, mm-hmm. my Savior, instead of my sin, suddenly I began to realize who my identity was in Christ. I wasn't a monster. I was chosen and lovely and beautiful and cherished and redeemed. And so he was able to replant that and plant those truths into my life.
That's amazing. And I know that you're a mom now. Did you struggle with any like sort of imposter syndrome almost stepping into the role of motherhood after making that decision? And where did God meet you in that?
You know, I was lucky in that I was healed before I had children. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I can't even imagine how difficult it is for women. It's so important that we catch them before they have children, because if they go through walking through that process of watching the child grow inside of you mm-hmm. while still in their shame, while still locked into that shame and secrecy, it can be extremely traumatic for them and extremely dangerous yeah. for them. I was extremely lucky that I was forgiven at that point. The mm-hmm. Lord forgave me right before I had children, as you showed in the video. Mm-hmm. And then actually called me to ministry. So for me, bearing children and watching my children grow and develop was just, the mystery and the majesty of the Creator, right? Of the Creator God. Mm-hmm. And so much how he moved my heart and moved my heart for ministry, moved my heart for his children, because he really showed me in that moment how much he loves children, how much he loves the unborn, but also how much he loves me, how much he loves all of us, that his love is not dependent on age.
Yeah.
When the Bible tells us there's no partiality, there's none. Mm-hmm. He loves us all the same.
Yeah. And that makes me think of the verse, I think it's in Matthew, but it says, "Do not keep them from me." And he's talking about children, "for the kingdom is just as much theirs as it is yours." And that we are to have childlike faith. So God always upheld children. And that's what I love about scripture is if you're willing to dive in and look and see how much God values life and even life in the womb, it's there. It's there. Yeah. So Amy, how common do you think abortions are? If we're looking at the U.S. statistically, like, is this something that is really normalized?
I think it is. I can tell you it's 1 in 4. 1 in 4 women will experience abortion. But, you know, Lifeway Research did a research about women in the church, I think specifically, because they talk about, yes, if you take 1 in 4 women mm-hmm. in America have an abortion, but then out of the women who've had an abortion, 70% identify as Christian.
Wow.
And that's a really high number when you think about it.
Yeah.
So when we look at our churches, we've got to realize we're there. The post-abortive men and women are sitting in our churches, mm-hmm. and oftentimes they're locked in shame and secrecy and not able to just fully bring their sin before the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So this really is something that is so prominent within the church and also women of the faith. And so that's why we're having this conversation again, just to reiterate, it's because this is something that is a conversation we have to have before Christ, because if we don't give our shame to him, we don't give our healing to him, and he doesn't want us to live in shame. He wants us to live in freedom. And so what were some of the verses, if you have any off the top of your head, that helped you achieve that freedom in Christ and to remove that shame from your story?
You know, really, this is the way God works, and it just amazes me. You know, Psalms 139, Jeremiah 1:5, these are verses that we hear often when our pastors want to preach about abortion, you know, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are knit together in our mother's womb. Before I knew you, I called you, right? Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Mm-hmm. And these verses beautifully do. They apply to our unborn children. They absolutely do. But they also apply to us.
Yeah.
They also apply to every one of us. And when you really think about it, before I was formed in my mother's womb, he knew me. And we know that God has foreknowledge. He exists outside of time. He looks into time. Right? He knew that I was going to have an abortion. He knew that when he called me at the age of 12, he knew that I was going to make this choice, and he pursued me anyway, and he put his name on me, and he loved me. Mm-hmm. And for women and men, they need to know that. And I think one of those verses, the very ones that Satan often tries to speak condemnation to us through, are the very verses that set us free.
Yeah.
Because that's how Jesus works.
That's good.
What the enemy makes for evil, the Lord will always use for good.
Amen. And you know, as you were saying that, I was picturing Judas, because I think too often we look at Judas and we say, gosh, he was a terrible guy. Like, how could he walk alongside Jesus for 3 whole years and then betray him? And the thing is I think too often we judge Judas because there are so many aspects of ourselves in Judas. We sometimes know Christ, walk with Christ, and still do wrong by him. But what we do after is what determines our eternity with Christ. Do we take it to him in forgiveness, or do we allow the enemy to destroy us in our shame? And so I really wanted to read that Jeremiah verse in case anyone isn't familiar with it, but it's Jeremiah 1:5. It says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And I want to really draw out some words there. Before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you. And so I don't know if you're someone who's maybe like a product of an egregious crime against your mother, and you've always wondered, why was I brought into the world in that way? It's because God loved you. Even if you came from a not so wonderful situation, God wanted you here. And we never want it to be by those means. You know, I think too often people look at, you're either pro-life or you're pro-choice, and we rid ourselves of the empathy, and we rid ourselves of really sitting down and having these conversations to understand one another. And so, Amy, what would you say to the woman who, or man, you know, there could be a man listening to this who hasn't made up their mind about abortion, but I think a lot of times we are really empathetic, which is why we don't want to choose one side or the other. What would you say to the person who's like, well, this person, you know, should have the choice, and this person shouldn't have the choice? Like, where do you think God meets us in the middle when it comes to how polarized this conversation has become?
Well, I think that, you know, the truth shall set us free, honestly. Yeah. And I feel like I know that extreme cases are often used as a platform for the pro-choice side. And I think what we need is more education, more truth being spoken, and women freed so that they can speak their truth, to understand that abortion harms us.
Yeah.
You know, after my abortion, I became instantaneously suicidal.
Wow.
They began numbing with alcohol to an extreme amount. And just felt the level of unworthiness that you feel, that you don't even feel like you're worthy of the air in your lungs. Mm-hmm. And now, how am I going to face every day knowing what I've done now?
Yeah.
And getting up every day became the challenge. So understanding the damage that abortion does to men and women, you know, they've done many studies that show that women are more likely to die in accidents, motor vehicle accidents. Why? That's substance abuse. It's because I didn't care if I lived or died. So understanding what happens to us after abortion and getting that word out there, I think oftentimes we just think about the baby, whereas they're trying to make their case on the woman. Well, let's talk about the woman. Let's talk about what happens even within families. The number of women that I have worked with that had parents that told them they had to do this, that this was the way out for them. And so, you know, when you're 16 and scared, you're going to do what your parents tell you to do. But then what they didn't realize is now they've got an entire lifetime of resentment that they're trying to work through. Now, how do I forgive my parents? You know, they were supposed to protect me, but they didn't. And now look at everything I've gone through. So really just getting that truth out there and speaking that truth, I think will help. Because we want to be compassionate. Of course, we want to be compassionate. And I know that a lot of times that there are women who are out there screaming, "My body, my choice." And they're doing it out of pain. Some of them are doing it out of pain. So we love them. We want to be compassionate towards them. And at the same time, I've got my arms open for the minute they turn to Jesus, I'm going to run to them and walk them through that process. And I will stand with them at the cross until the cross becomes a safe place.
That's beautiful. You know, I had an advisor in college who we all loved so much. I mean, she was so outgoing, but she was pretty open about the fact that she was struggling with fertility. And I remember when she finally got pregnant, she found out that she also had cancer. And so her and her husband were faced with this horrible decision of, do we start the chemo process to save her life? It was very aggressive, the cancer. And so do we start the chemo process to save the mother's life and it will kill the baby? Or do we hold off on chemo and hope that the mom survives long enough with cancer to not only develop a healthy baby, but to also make it to the point of giving birth to the baby? And it was just this like impossible situation. Like I couldn't imagine being married now young. You know, I couldn't imagine having to make that decision, but I wasn't even a Christian then. And I still remember her saying to our, she advised like a group of women in college. I remember her saying to our group, you know, I'm praying and I'm giving it to God. And so she did not go ahead with the chemo. She ended up carrying her baby full term, gave birth to the baby, received chemo treatment afterwards, and she has been cancer-free ever since. And so this conversation, we were kind of talking a little bit before we recorded, but it's so fear-based. And a lot of times I don't think we look at the, well, what if I let God have this? What if I believe in miracles. What if I believe that he will provide for me, if he provides for the birds of the air and if he dresses the lilies, why do I not believe that he will provide for me? And so even though I wasn't a believer then, that story impacted my faith in hindsight so much. And I also love your openness to share that you did have suicidal thoughts after your abortion, because I grew up in a very strict Christian household where it was a lot of like rules based and not really grace-based. Like, I don't think I knew the love of Jesus until I got saved in my 20s. And I told myself, because I was, you know, sexually active, didn't know Christ, far from Christ, that if I ever got pregnant, I was going to end my life. And I think that's because I had the knowledge and conviction that killing the baby through abortion was wrong or not the way to go. But I also couldn't face giving it to God. And so Satan had convinced me that giving up my life and the babies was the way out. And so how do you think we can meet women in their fear to know that these extremes aren't always the best option and that the impossible can happen in the hands of God? How can we convince women of that?
You know, and it's interesting because as I was hearing your story, that exact story was part of my family, that I had a cousin. And she found out she had cancer at the time that she was 6 weeks pregnant. And she chose, much like your friend, to go ahead and have the child and wait on the treatment until afterwards. And praise Jesus, she lived long enough. She lived about 6 months after her child was born. And she spent, you know, her pregnancy actually writing letters and making videos for her children.
Oh my goodness.
They would be able to see as they lived their lives and in those big moments. But, you know, she never regretted her decision. Mm-hmm. And I know she didn't. She would speak to us as a family. And so we know that she never, not once, regretted that decision. So I feel like, you know, we are, you know, created, even when I hear those extreme cases of the child will not survive. Mm-hmm. Well, there is still a difference between letting the natural process of grief mm-hmm. that God has programmed us to walk through is better than walking away feeling like you did it, that you are the murderer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've got to trust that even in that grieving process, because one of the things that happens in abortion is that we don't feel we have the right to grieve. And society tells us we don't have the right to grieve because we did this to ourselves. And so we actually interrupt that natural process in those extreme cases. So it's just, you know, lean into the Lord in that, walk through it with Him. Mm-hmm. He created us. He formed us. He knows every neuron in our brain. He knows how our emotions process. Mm-hmm. And so I would just say to anybody going through that or something of that nature to just lean into Him through that and walk through that natural process. It's still so much better and so much healthier for you emotionally than to interrupt that process with an abortion. Because that's a whole different set of issues.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to speak really quick to maybe the younger listener mm-hmm. and just share quickly. When I was in college, this was 2015, I lived in Chicago. And one of the largest women's rights marches was in Chicago in 2015. I think 250,000 women were there. And in college, I went to a very liberal school. My friends, it was an art school. My friends showed up at my door with signs with certain political sayings on them. And they said, come on, we're going to go do the march today. And I was like, well, what's going on? You know, they're like, we're going to go march for our rights. We're going to go march because this is, you know, this is what we have to do as women. And, you know, we're being attacked basically. And I was like, okay. So I just went on this march with them and I thought I was fighting for my rights. And so for me to have marched in the pro-abortion, pro-choice movement in 2015 to then be saved by God and have such a radically different view of life and my rights before God and what He's created me to do as a woman. I just want to speak to the younger listener and say, be investigative. Don't just jump on the bandwagon like I did because it's what everyone else is doing. Take time to see, why do people believe the opposite? Or why do people believe this? Is it out of hurt? Is it out of fear? And what does God's word have to say about it? And so, Amy, what would you say to that young woman who's still kind of forming their opinion about it?
You know, I would say definitely do the work, investigate. I know that there is the lie out there that, abortion's healthcare. Mm-hmm. There's no healthcare about it. It's very transactional in nature. Mm-hmm. You don't even see the doctor oftentimes. You know, you get more medical care when you have a tooth pulled than you do when you have an abortion. There's no follow-up. There is no, there's no recovery process that they're going to walk you through. And there's certainly no mental health, any kind of benefit there. They're not going to check up on you. There's nothing. It is transactional. You walk in. And I know many women who walked in and thought they're going to give me options. They're going to help. They're going to tell me all my options. And they got there and realized they just want the money and go back mm-hmm. in this room and do exactly what they tell you to do. Mm-hmm. And then there's absolutely no help. There's no follow-up. So I can't buy into that lie that it's healthcare mm-hmm. yeah. Because it's just not, or there would be just that they would care. I think that they would hear of what happens to you afterwards. Mm-hmm. And there really just isn't any follow-up whatsoever. So I would just go out there and talk to women who've had abortions and look at both sides, you know, and look at those women. I just recently walked with a woman who she just went back and reversed her testimony because she had actually kind of testified for some pro-choice legislation. And she was like, I can't believe how deceived I was. She was just young and did not realize. And so, you know, just go and do the legwork on that. talk to people, do your homework, and don't be deceived.
Yeah. You know, I have some friends who, I have friends of all varying religions, backgrounds, political opinions, and certainly stances on abortion, and I love them all the same. And I think it's really important that we have that mix in our lives so we don't become really just unaware or naive to what's going on in the world. But I remember we had a really open conversation about abortion, and they were like, oh yeah, I'm definitely pro-choice. Like, I believe the woman should have the choice. And she was fully convinced that when you do have an abortion, I know there's different kinds, but when you do have an abortion, that you will never like shed a baby from you, essentially. Like, you'll never see, in her words, a fetus, in my words, a living baby who's now deceased. Like, you'll never see it. And I just couldn't believe that that was kind of her view, because this is a baby growing inside you with fingers and toes and a nose. And that's what comes out when this happens, you know? And I feel like God really painted this picture actually the next day. So we lived in an apartment complex, and she told me that her and her friend were kind of cleaning up a patio area, and she knocked a bird's nest down and the eggs cracked everywhere. And they started crying because the eggs had little formed baby birds inside. And so they realized they had killed those growing babies. And I didn't say it out loud, but in my mind, I was thinking, how is that not the human womb? How's that not what's happening inside of women today? And if you can mourn for the birds, how can you not mourn for God's creation when he said we are so much more valuable than the birds? And so, you know, God worked out his own picture in that moment. But to the person who's bought into the lie, I know this is a little bit more graphic, and I wouldn't recommend this to our younger listeners, or if you are younger, maybe look at it with your parents. But Google for yourself what actually happens during an abortion process, so you are fully informed on the medical procedure that is happening and what is taking place.
Yeah.
And that's not to traumatize anyone or fear tactics, nothing like that. It's to inform.
Right.
Yeah.
And not to get graphic again, but even the method of abortion that they are using right now is the abortion pill. And it's very much, we're seeing very high trauma in young girls because they are seeing what it is, because those abortions are taking place in their homes. And, and when you see it in front of you, there's no denying that it is life. And so again, that trauma is going up. And so for anyone, even if you're out there and you happen to hear this and, oh my goodness, I took pills, there isn't a reversal process. Mm-hmm. Can log into and call, and they can try to help reverse that process for you, so it's not too late.
Yeah. Amy, I would love for you to share, kind of as we close, how people can reach out to you if they are in need of grace-based healing. Maybe they're feeling the weight of their shame still and they're stuck in it. Where can they find you, or what resources do you recommend for them if they're ready to take that step?
So you can find me through social media, redeemedforareason.com or healedbygrace.org. I'm also at Redeemed for a Reason on Instagram and Facebook. So you can look up there and just reach out to me. Even if you're not in the Columbus area, I'll be glad to connect you with a national organization, because we have a network of abortion recovery throughout this country and even globally. So we'll be able to get you connected. And I would say to any woman who's out there listening, who's had an abortion and is just living under that shame and wants to truly understand freedom, now's the time. Don't, you know, the Lord is speaking to you now and the Holy Spirit is moving. Just trust in him and move with him. And now's the time. You don't have to live this way. We were formed for redemption, right? The message of my life is that you do not have to live in pain. We have wounds on our soul, but Jesus Christ, he's still healing today, just like he was when he was walking this earth. He is Jehovah Rapha. And so we do not have to live under that condemnation. We can live in freedom.
Yes. And I'd love to close us out with a verse. You may have mentioned this one before, but it's Galatians 1:15. And it says, "But even before I was born." And as you're listening, I want you to know that this applies to you. This applies to your children, if that's in your future, or even children who may have been through abortion. This applies to every life under God's great earth. God's great son. It says, but even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. And so if you take away anything from this conversation, I hope you know that it's grace and love and that there is healing on the other side of pain. So Amy, thank you so much for being here today and just your honesty and your openness and your willingness to not keep your testimony to yourself so that other women can be redeemed by Christ as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Addie.
You guys are listening to Christ in Me with Addie, and I'll see you next time.